San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee and Supervisor Katie Tang have co-authored legislation that would provide incentives for private companies to build more affordable housing in the city. Here's the deal. If developers include up to 30% affordable housing in residential mixed-use districts, they can add two stories to their buildings and fill them up with more apartments. A few weeks ago, Supervisor Tang joined planners to discuss the program at the Ortega Branch Library in San Francisco's Sunset District. An overflow crowd of around 200 people came to hear about it and express their concerns.
Other people have questions too.
One of the speakers was Kirsten Dissinger. She's the lead housing policy planner for the city. KLW's Ben Trefney sat down with her in studio to talk about how the affordable housing bonus plan could change San Francisco.
So if you were to summarize what this affordable housing bonus program is in a nutshell for somebody who's never heard of it, how would you summarize this?
I would say this is a way to encourage people to provide a higher amount of affordable housing as part of their project. We know we can't build our way out of the affordable housing needs for San Francisco, and we don't have enough subsidy to meet all those needs. So this is a way for the city to not provide subsidy, but get affordable housing, including for the middle income. The trade-off is we'll have some buildings in each neighborhood that are higher heights than what people are used to seeing. Not higher heights than any of the buildings in other neighborhoods, but higher than what people are used to seeing.
At the public meeting at the Ortega Library, one of the speakers who went up, who was invited, was Peter Cohen from the Council of Community Housing Organizations. And he had some questions that I thought were really interesting about this, that obviously he thinks that should be addressed. And I was wondering if we could listen to some of those, and then you could maybe address them, because
sure.
It seems like he has an inside track as to what really needs to be known here. So here's the first one.
Will this program result in family units? What's being required in the so-called local program is 40% of the units are two bedrooms. The rest can be small units. What we know is the market tends to build small units because it's the most profitable way to construct. You can get studios or even micro units or one bedroom units, which work fine for singles or perhaps couples or folks who are coming through fairly quickly. But if we're looking for family units and middle income family units, they got to be at least two bedrooms or larger. So 40%, is that enough? Can we get more percentage of those units being family?
So to clarify that question a little bit, the requirements under the Affordable Housing Bonus Program you guys are proposing, that Katie Tang and Mayor Lee are proposing, is that there would have to be a certain amount of two-bedroom apartments offered as part of these developments, right? Could you explain how this works a little bit?
Sure. We require that 40% of your total unit count should be two bedrooms or larger.
Two bedrooms or more units.
Or three bedroom or four bedroom.
But not by square foot.
Correct. Interestingly, 60% of our households are one person. So that kind of lines up as well in terms of, are we building the right kind of housing stock?
For the current population.
For the current population.
Though we've got such a small percentage of families.
Correct.
And to encourage more families to come here or stay here as to become families, then
right.
We need to build differently.
That's certainly one way to think about it. There also is a lot of study going on nationally around who's moving to the cities, right? And it's two populations, young professionals and seniors. And they kind of have the same needs. They want a small house that's near transit and that has services around them. But family housing is a really important goal. We are seeing a lot of two bedrooms in our current planning, but not bigger. People aren't incentivized to provide three. So with this legislation, what we're doing is saying, look, we want to create incentives to provide three bedroom units as well.
That's Kirsten Dissinger. She is lead housing policy planner at the San Francisco Planning Department. And I'd like to go back to Peter Cohen from the Council of Community Housing Organizations, who spoke at a public meeting that Kirsten was at as well at the Ortega Public Library in San Francisco to talk about the Affordable Housing Bonus Program. I think that this here is one of the most significant questions with anything that requires new planning.
What happens when you have existing buildings on a site? especially what if they're rent-controlled buildings? And what if there are existing commercial retail tenants in those buildings? Are we inadvertently incentivizing demolition of housing and commercial space? Now hang on a second, but if that's the case, and you're gonna say take a 2-unit building and you're gonna tear it down and build a 9-unit building, are those units gonna be replaced one for one and the folks who are living there have a right to return? And on top of that, are you gonna get the bonus, or are those gonna start being double counted?
Yeah, I think this is the toughest question in terms of any change to the urban landscape. You know, it's one thing to talk abstractly about a building being taller than the neighboring building or maybe someone's yard being shaded. But when you're actually talking about displacing residents and tenants, you know, that's where sort of the rubber hits the road, as it were. And we're taking this very seriously. The state law requires that any rent control or affordable unit be replaced. But you heard in Peter Cohen's comments, those units also could count as part of their percentage of affordability per the state law. We're working really hard to come up with a solution that we believe has to be in place before this program moves forward, which would say if you're choosing to demolish several rent control units, you must replace them and provide the affordable housing. And we're working to sort of map out those tenant rights as well. There are, as you know, we have pretty strong benefits for people who might be displaced, but we are interested in adding right to return and anything else that we can work out. I will say that by and large, this is not an issue with this program, but it's an issue citywide. You know, we're hearing about this in the Mission. We're hearing about this without this program. The loss of rent control units is kind of, you know, at the forefront of all of our minds. And so we don't think that this is a control that should apply just to this program. It should just apply, right? We all value our rent control housing stock. There are instances where the trade-off is bad, right? Like 2 rent control units being demolished for 3 market rate units is a bad trade-off for the city. So we want to make sure that we're not allowing that, but we're also allowing, you know, if we could provide, you know, 30 new affordable units at the loss of 2 rent control units, we're clearly winning as a city.